to this episode 34 of Brashcast. I'm Ian Pritchard, and as always, Ross Frim.
We're back!
We are back. After, what, the best part of a month?
Yeah, more than a month, I think.
It's been absolutely ages. So this is something of a reboot episode, and it's actually the first ever episode that we're recording. So hi, if you're watching. If you're not watching, please do check us out on YouTube. It'll be under just Brash Games, Brashcast, whatever.
I will create a channel for us.
You'll create a channel, how good of him. And you'll be able to, for those who can see, you'll be able to see, of course, that Ross suddenly looks like Wolverine, which has come out of fucking nowhere. Because I haven't seen him for a month. And I just walked through the door, he's just got a Wolverine haircut, got the beard and everything. It looks fantastic. If nothing else, it's the one reason to actually go and watch the video.
Yeah.
But we'll embed this onto the site and everything as well, so you'll have the audio and you'll have the video. So, you know, we'll put as many places as we can, try and make it as simple as possible. We might do something fancy, but the whole point is we're not going to have anything which is going to get in the way of it just being an audio podcast.
Yeah.
So, Rush, you might need to sit in. I'm worried about the sound and the video.
Oh,
I'm just going to moan about these all the time. But as I said, I mean, it's been over a month, so, you know, a lot has happened in the past month, in fairness.
Yeah.
You know, there's been all the Xbox kind of turnarounds, which has, you know, been a pretty big deal, I guess, with the DRM, the self publishing for indies. Now they're putting a headset in the box as well, so it's all kind of kicking off. But even before all this, I mean, if anyone listening has listened to Brashcast before, you know that I've been a pretty solid supporter of one of the few solid supporters of the Xbox One since it was announced.
That's because of all the money that Microsoft are paying you, isn't it?
No, I honestly think they're on the right lines. I just think, and I still think, it's a more interesting console than the PlayStation 4. I think the potential there is for a more interesting console.
Okay.
So much so that I put my money where my mouth is, and I've actually gone and pre-ordered the console.
All right, okay.
See, this is weird now. I don't know whether I should look at the camera or just carry on talking. It's very strange. Sorry, we'll get better at this. Give us time. But
Like, really intensely stare at
the
camera.
Yeah, if we just stare and just talk like this for the rest of the time. I like Xbox. I bought an Xbox. No, I'm not sure if this is going to work. But I've made the pre-order, so that's on its way. I got the day one edition. And
with a chrome pad and...
It's not even a chrome pad. It's literally just a pad. And all it says is day one. I mean, I don't give a shit about that. I just pre-ordered one.
To be honest, the original, well, the Xbox 360, this is the day one controller. If you got one of the original launch Xboxes, 360s,
he's waving like a TV remote.
Yeah, but this one is free.
This one, I mean, it's literally just a normal controller. The only difference being that it says like day one or something. I mean, it's bullshit, but I don't care about that. I just wanted an Xbox for launch. The PS4, I mean, I'll inevitably get a PS4 somewhere down the line. It's just at the moment, I still think it's a more interesting console, and I certainly think it's got the better lineup of games.
Ooh.
What's the PlayStation 4 got that's so great? I mean, we've gone through this before. I just don't know. Everyone seems to go caught up with the fact that, okay, the PlayStation 4 is doing stuff which consoles do now. But beyond that, it's like, what's it doing that's so great?
Their dedication to indies.
Yeah, there is. I get that. But I don't buy a console for indie games. Like, those are additional extras. I buy it for the big games, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. Down the line, you want those top quality indie games. But in terms of when I'm thinking about buying a console, it's always those big releases for me. For me, at least, which comes first?
No, that's understandable. I think that for me personally, a lot of the features that the Xbox One is set to have that set it apart. It's a very personal thing, but a lot of them I'm not really that bothered about. We've spoken from a more consumer based point of view, and I can see where you're coming from, that a lot of people will want these features, but from a personal standpoint, it's not
floating your boat yet.
Not really. I mean, the PS4 and what they've done with PSN really has changed my mind about...
PlayStation Plus is absolutely amazing in fairness. And if they do carry on with the same kind of quality, I mean, that is going to be a huge draw for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not like I dislike the PlayStation 4. It's just, at the moment, I just think the Xbox One looks more interesting. And again, with Kinect and a lot of the stuff they're talking about, I won't even use it. I just think down the line, it's got more potential to do something new and exciting. And again, you know, you're rolling the dice with Kinect. It looked great on the stage. Is it going to work in the same way? Is it going to work how Kinect 1 should have? Because I've got a Kinect sitting in my house, and it basically never gets used.
Well, a lot of the problem that the Xbox One has had is just numerous PR mess-ups.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all these features, but they seem to be focusing on whatever Sony's doing a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Sony's been accused of just taking what Xbox does and going against it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say it took a fair bit of balls for Sony to come out against, you know, the DRM and just things like that.
I think it was a reactionary thing. I think they saw that, you know, there's no doubt that Sony were looking into the whole DRM thing.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's just, I think they saw the backlash to the Xbox One. And you know, they've obviously learned their lessons from the PlayStation 3 and thought, okay, we can, you know, have a huge PR victory now by just saying the complete opposite to Microsoft.
But if you think about it, like, it's going to annoy the publishers.
Although
the thing is, it's also, they were kind of sneaky about it, Sony, in the way that they said, well, we're not going to put DRM on anything,
mm-hmm.
but the publishers can
the
if
publishers
they want
can,
to.
Yeah. The thing is, that's like Sony getting painted as these saints all of a sudden. And, you know, these things kind of, you know, ebb and flow and, you know, it'll all be forgotten. Like a few months ago when they were just handing out people's credit card details, you know, everybody was on the case of PlayStation. You know, Sony, they had an absolute shitstorm when the PlayStation 3 came out.
Yeah.
All right, in fairness, all you can do is learn from your lessons, and it seems that they have, and unbelievably, despite what everyone said, it seems that Microsoft are making the same mistakes. Which, because, you know, they're coming into this console generation on a stronger footing than Sony is.
Yeah,
and,
well,
they've obviously got a bit, like, I just don't understand how their meetings went. Like, I think this could have worked. I think going back to their original setup and their original plans might have worked if they had sold it in the correct way.
Yeah.
But the message was an absolute fucking mess. Nobody seems to know what they're talking
Matrick,
about.
Don Matrick shot himself in the foot.
Yeah,
but
he's a twat.
Do you think he knew that he was leaving for Zynga before he did it?
No way. He was pushed out the door. They obviously had a chat afterwards, so this has been a bit of a shitstorm. You know, you can leave, but basically if you don't leave, you will be pushed. And the problem is,
I wouldn't mind being pushed out the door for $16 million.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad. But, you know, he's going to have to rebuild his reputation with Zynga, who aren't exactly doing great at the moment. But that's another issue. I mean, it shouldn't matter, but the people you put up on stage does have an effect.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks like a kind of retarded version of Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray Romano, is it? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got that kind of wet, like, half retarded look.
I think he
him.
Seems kind of sleazy.
Like, no, yeah, he is. He's like, he's both sleazy and partially retarded. It's like a horrible combination. And you just see him up on stage and you're like, that's why bullying exists, because of people like you. You know, I hate the idea of bullying, but I see him and like, even I want to kick his ass. He's just one of those faces.
Well, we're getting onto victim blaming now.
Yeah. Well, no, I think, you know, it was a combination of so many things, which kind of combines to make the whole presentation a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
But I think if you can see past all that, which is tricky,
well,
I think the technology behind it and the ideas behind the horrible presentation are actually pretty good. And when it came to E3, people completely forgot about the fact that in terms of games and in terms of presentation, Microsoft's presentation was much better.
Well,
I really think it was.
I don't know. On the flip side,
Sony showed a lot of the same games.
Jack Tretton has been getting better. If you go back,
mm-hmm.
2008 or so, when he started, you know, doing, or probably before that actually,
yeah.
he started doing the press conferences for Sony.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I mean, he still comes out in a suit.
Yeah.
He reads to the auto cue.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels very stale.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now he had that crowd in the palm of his hand.
Yeah,
and
it helped
the, see the bit when he announced that we will not like restrict used games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you see the smile on his face.
Yeah,
he knows
knew
that,
what he had in his hand.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, I still think, in terms of like looking back at their presentation, that was good. But that was laid on a plate for them. They decided, they thought, if we do this right, and they did it right. They really did put the boot in there.
Yeah.
And rightly so. But, you know, take that out of the equation. And if you just look at, like, you know, the games we'll be playing.
Yeah.
Like, they showed, and I'm sure they'll show games further down the line, but, like, looking at E3, they showed a lot of stuff we'd already seen. There was nothing really there.
True.
In terms of first-party stuff where I was like, oh, that looks amazing, that's new, that's exciting. I want to play Killzone, sure. I want to play, what's it called? Fuck, Infamous.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love those games. But I still don't think, and I think it's the same for the gaming public. Like, you only look at the figures of those games. I'm not sure if they're going to be massive system sellers still. And I just think when the consoles are out on the shelf, people might change their tune because it's still a vocal minority, and that vocal minority have proved time and time again that they, you know, they speak with their mouths but never with their wallets.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't
that's
be surprised
true.
If the vast majority of these gamers who are, you know, bad mouthing Microsoft are the first people in line when the console.
The thing
comes
is
out.
That's where, like, when you look at the actual public buying, that's where things like the price point come into view.
Oh yeah, that's an issue.
Plus, it's weird because it's actually transcended just the gaming community.
It has now. This was the issue. This was the big problem for Microsoft. I think they would have weathered the storm if it had just stayed primarily in the gaming community.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we can kind of win them back. You know, all you need is like a big, you know, first party exclusive, and things change very quickly. But once it gets out into the kind of, you know, the standard, you know, your everyday
when your mum and dad know about it.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, what's all this stuff with DRM with the Xbox? That doesn't sound good. Why can't I play games? Does it have to be online? Then they're like, shit, we need to change this. And it wasn't gamers who changed their minds. Not a fucking chance. It was as soon as it got into the standard, like, everyday press, and that becomes a real issue then, because, you know, if that kind of becomes ingrained into Ma and Pa's fucking head, then you're going to see the big sale figure, the sales decline in major numbers. Because people kept going about pre-orders, but it's only really the hardcore like pre-order consoles. Anyway.
Yeah.
Most people leave it much later.
Plus, they make a big deal about, oh, this like GameStop have now sold out of pre-orders. It's like, yeah, but they could have intentionally lowballed them to get that. And they're both guilty of that. Yeah.
Every console manufacturer does this.
Nintendo are the worst for it.
Oh, Nintendo are bad, but every console manufacturer does it unashamedly. They want to build up excitement. If they can get a news story and say, oh, the console's sold out, all of a sudden people go, oh, well, shit, I want to get one of these for Christmas. I better get it now.
I mean, I worked at GameStation or BB Game, Blockbuster Games, during the Christmas of the DS, the DS Lite, which was mental. DS Lites were impossible to get a hold of. And the Wii Fit board as well. So it's just one of these things Nintendo's always been very good at. Is
I wish I hadn't done this now. I can see myself, which is a little bit strange. I'm sorry, carry on.
Nintendo are masters of this kind of false economy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But it works for them.
Oh, it works for every manufacturer. Again, you know, gamers, the kind of people like ourselves who kind of keep an eye on the websites, you know all these tricks. But it does, you know, it has an effect on the everyday public. And again, if, you know, mum and dad are thinking about, you know, getting a console for their son or daughter or whatever for Christmas, they hear that and they think, oh, well, that's going to be the number one Christmas toy. I better get in early.
Yeah.
Because this does make a difference. Because, you know, these consoles do, whether it's kind of manufactured or not, they do sell out kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I
absolutely
remember the Wii when it came out with all the hype about Wii Sports.
Yeah.
That sold out everywhere. And when the Xbox 360 came out, people were selling them on eBay for like £1,000. It was absolutely mental because it was that Christmas's big thing and people are willing to pay the money, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously they want to, you know, create that kind of hype again. And I just think at the moment, looking at the two consoles, I think Christmas and maybe the first year is going to be really close. I think Sony have given themselves an edge with this kind of PR masterclass, regardless of the games.
Yeah.
But I think down the line, it's going to be a matter of games, because it's like the Wii U proves it and iPads and iPods prove it. Everyone goes on about the economy, but if you've got a product people want, people will pay for it.
Yeah.
The iPod, you know, for economy which, you know, is supposedly struggling so bad, every fucking kid has got a £500 iPhone. Everyone's got an iPad, and people will pay the extra for the Xbox if they deem it to be worthy of the purchase. Because the Wii U has proved it emphatically. It's a cheaper console. It's affordable already, especially with the deals that are going on at the moment. But nobody's buying it, not because it's not cheap enough. It's because there's nothing to play.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Wii U, you could put it on the shelf now for £100. People still wouldn't buy it. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem
is there are
no games. I like the hardware. I think the price point is solid, but until they get some games out there. I mean, there was the issue recently, like it was revealed, haven't it, 160,000 units worldwide in the past 3 months.
That's atrocious.
It's for a new console, that's less than the Wii.
Yeah.
And the Wii's been all but forgotten for the past, 2 years?
Yeah,
so this is bad. The only thing, and I wrote a blog about this recently on, check out the website, brashgames.co.uk. I still think the Wii can survive. Unlike the Vita, which, despite all the goodwill in the world, and again, you know, people go on about all these indie games, there's loads of indie games on the Vita, they're not going to be the games that shift units. They're the kind of games where people already own it. They'll be like, oh, that's a nice additional extra.
Yeah.
Indie games don't sell consoles. I can tell you that much right fucking now, unless it's Minecraft. And Xbox has got Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Vita, for all the goodwill in the world, that's still going to struggle to turn around unless... I just don't know what the game is.
Well, no, it's not. It's I think it's actually the function that the Vita is going to do because it's got this compatibility with the PS4.
I still don't think that'll sell it in any great numbers.
Well, if you think of what the same feature is doing for the Wii U.
Yeah,
especially,
yeah.
Like,
it's another product, though. And as soon as it's separated from the console...
Well,
again, in terms of like the large-scale audience, everyone will be like... Oh, so I'm going to buy this as well.
But the pad has. The pad is separate from the Wii U. You don't need to buy
that. Yeah, no, but it comes... That's what I mean. It comes with the Wii U.
Yeah.
So it's just part of the experience. As soon as you start talking about, oh, well, if you buy this other console, you can use it as a controller, that's not going to sell on these huge numbers, and I don't think it's going to turn...
If Sony are smart, they'll bundle it for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, without... I think eventually, if the sales aren't going the right way... The thing is, that would be a great show. If they're not bundling the camera for an extra £100... Bring it in line with the Xbox One and just have a bundled Vita and PS4 package.
Absolutely.
That'd be fucking awesome. I'd buy that straight away. But I don't think they'll do it. At least not for the time being. But my point is, and I will get to my point, I've almost forgotten it. but I still think that we can turn it around because I almost think, again, Nintendo, because they were supposed to have games released earlier in the year, and I think they knew they had, obviously, a very slim pickings, and they thought, okay, right, if we release Pikmin earlier in the year, if we release the wonderful 101 earlier in the year, it's not going to make any difference to sales. So they've pushed everything back to fall closer to their kind of big winter like releases, like your Zeldas, like your new Marios. So when they can push for Christmas, when they start hitting the advert, it'll essentially be a relaunch. So, you know, you'll have those kind of games which shift consoles, your Marios and your Zeldas, but then on top they'll be able to say, oh, but, you know, the wonderful 101's just come out, Pikmin's just come out, Sonic the Lost World, which actually looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it does look good.
I think that's going to shift units. Bayonetta 2.
I take it you watched the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
That... Like, it's so strange.
It looks like Mario Galaxy, which is fine, because Mario Galaxy is, like, my favourite game.
Basically, if you haven't seen it, Iwata came out and he said...
Looking all awkward and shit, as usual.
Oh, no, it's... Yeah. But I love Iwata, because... His English is... I mean, it's a lot better than my Japanese, but...
It's still bad enough for it to be kind of funny.
You would not choose this man to be your press relations officer.
It's weird, because it just kind of works for Nintendo, though. It's got, again, that kind of weird, retarded charm where it's limited English.
Oh, exactly.
And if that was Sony or it was Microsoft, it wouldn't work. For some odd reason...
It makes him seem naive and friendly.
Quite charming and because he's basic English,
especially when
you can get away with almost being a little bit cutesy.
When you consider that Reggie Fils-Aimé, who is Nintendo's American representative, mm-hmm. like he's the head of Nintendo America, or like their rep anyway,
mm-hmm.
He's a golem. Like, he's a monster.
And again, his issue is, he's a slime ball. The thing is, you get these guys up on stage for
I don't know, he just looks weird.
I don't like him at all. And like you said, the problem is with Sony, certainly with Microsoft for a while, is that they go up on stage and they just, it doesn't, like, for all their chat, and obviously their perfect grasp of English, it just feels a bit slimy. And that is one thing you could never say about the Nintendo Directs. It might be a little bit basic, but like so
but
much of
you
Nintendo,
could, you
it's
could
quite
imagine
charming.
Him talking to a child like this.
Yeah, and that's their kind of ploy. That's what Nintendo's going to be again, regardless of what
they're talking
say.
To mums and dads. Like,
yeah,
imagine how much your kid is going to enjoy opening this on Christmas Day.
I like that though, and I like the fact.
No, I'm not
like,
criticizing
Xbox
it.
And PlayStation, obviously, especially Xbox, are moving towards these multimedia products. But Nintendo is still, and it's why I love Nintendo so much, and I'll never turn my back on Nintendo. Is because they're just, everything's aimed towards fun.
Yeah.
It's not towards doing a million things. Like, we're always just going to build basic, simple, fun games. And again, you know, I went back and I was playing, you know, I had all these games to play, and I don't know why, in the last month, I became strangely disillusioned with games. I think I'm just waiting for the next gen now. It's like, I look at the games I've got, and nothing's exciting me at the moment. I bought The Last of Us today, so I'm sure that'll be absolutely amazing. But I look at my shelf and I'm just like, I need something new.
That's a mentality I don't share.
Oh, well,
at the moment,
I'm getting over it again. It happened for a few weeks. I think I just burnt myself out.
Yeah.
But I went and played Skyward Sword again on the on the Wii.
Uh-huh.
And obviously that's on old hardware now, but it's, again, it's just classic Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yes, it's built like a Zelda game, which we've played a million times before, but every idea is perfect. Every sound is just... You get the impression they spent ages just getting the sounds right.
Yeah.
Everything is just aimed towards being fun. Well, and I still think, in terms of developers, Nintendo have just got this little bit of magic, kind of like Pixar do in the movies, which the other companies just don't have.
If you think about it, though, no one moves from Nintendo.
No.
If you're at Nintendo, you're working on a especially if you grew up on Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, personally, like, as an aspiring games designer, I...
Just in case anyone's watching.
Yeah.
Just, you know, give a drop.
Yeah, so... Like, working for, like, say, Bethesda
mm-hmm.
or Valve, you know, yeah. that's a dream. Like, to work there is the, either that or having your own studio is the pinnacle of what you can do in that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
For Japan, and a lot of Western people as well.
Well, it's the working issue of language, isn't it?
Yeah. Totally. Working at Nintendo.
Oh, without question.
There would be nothing better.
If I was a game developer, I would want nothing more. Like, my aim would be Nintendo.
Yeah.
If I could speak the language, obviously, and I'm not sure if it's just a kind of unit. Well, you know, there's Nintendo America, or even for one of their kind of offshoots, like Retro or something like that.
Yeah.
But, although, come on, Nintendo, fucking get them working on Metroids, for heaven's sake. But as I was saying, I mean, I just think Nintendo can turn the corner here. I just think they can still have a very big Christmas, because I'm just amazed that so many people, again, are writing off the Wii U. They have such short memories, I don't fucking get it. Because everyone was saying the same thing about the 3DS.
They're not just writing off the Wii U, they're writing off Nintendo.
It's not. Nintendo have got so much money in the bank. People seem to forget, Microsoft
they could afford to do... But the Wii U has had a crap first year. Yeah, There's no debate in that.
Again.
But they could afford to do that another four or five times.
And again, people forget... we're talking about gamers, and they seem to have this skewed perspective on the Wii. People forget the Wii was one of the most successful consoles of all time. Yeah. The DS was the most successful handheld of all time. And now the 3DS, again, it came out, it had a slow start, and everyone's like, oh, you know, iPads are taking over, no one's interested. Again, there were just no games for it. Look what happens when Nintendo released the big games.
Yeah.
They released Mario Land, they released Mario Kart. All of a sudden, the Nintendo 3DS blew up. In America now, it's even outselling the 360 at the moment.
I didn't know that.
The 3D, that's another thing. Recently, I went out and bought, I'm very much on a whim. I'd had a shit day in work. Like, I talked about it a few times, but I just walked past. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to buy a 3DS. I'm just going to buy one.
Oh.
And it's fucking awesome.
Huh.
Again, it's not... Like, you look at the way it's made, it's not as slick as a Vita.
I just remember you trying to justify it. Like, I've got, like, a bus journey coming up at some point.
I know. Well, it was actually pretty good for the journey, but I didn't buy it for that. It was, you know, like, you have a shit day, and I walk past, I'm like, oh, that's it, I'm just getting a 3DS. And I just wanted to play Mario Land, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, as I said, in terms of the build quality, it's not as good as the Vita, obviously. But then you turn it on, and it's just a myriad of just brilliant little touches. Little sounds, little additions to the screen, to the menus. Everything about it is just, well, for lack of a better term, a joy.
Yeah.
And again, the games are fantastic. And you look at the lineup for the 3DS. I don't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got the Mario Land and Mario Kart, but now I'm looking like Fire Emblem. I want
Fire Emblem. I would really recommend Fire Emblem. Although you're talking about Nintendo games being simple and fun,
mm-hmm.
Fire Emblem's got a decent story and the gameplay is quite complex as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, I played it. It's really good, and I am going to get around to it. So I wrote this down. What was the other one? Oh yeah, Project Exome. Or if you because I downloaded the demo, it's so fucking Japanese. Because it comes up and says, Projecto Exorcizazon. It's just like nowhere fucking near English. But that game as well, I mean, that's right up my alley because it's more simplistic than Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got, you know, all my favourite characters from Sega and Capcom, two of my favourite companies. So, you know, that and like Luigi's Mansion, and it's got like the Pokemon games coming out soon. The 3DS is going to be selling like fucking hotcakes for a long, long time.
Was it Black and White, Black and White 2?
No, it's X and Y.
Oh yeah, it's X and Y, isn't it?
And that's the thing, Nintendo have this back catalogue, which companies like Microsoft and Sony simply do not have, where you think, oh, the Wii U's going down the toilet. As soon as they release those games, they'll shift units. And I'm not saying it's going to be as popular as the Wii.
No.
But these sales figures aren't going to continue when the big release come out, when Mario Kart comes out next year. Like, Mario Kart on the Wii sold, like, 30, 40 million copies. And, you know, this will sell very well again. So, I think to write off the Wii U is absolutely ludicrous, and suggest that Nintendo should leave the hardware market after they've just released the most popular console of all time. I'm like, that's borderline fucking stupid.
I just
don't understand where people
are. It's very strange, because when you look at Nintendo as a company, like, if they were autonomous, they would...
Sorry, have a drink, I've worked myself out.
If they were autonomous, they would do a lot better, because they know the industry better than anyone else. And as a company, they make really good decisions, but they're at the whim of their shareholders, which any company is.
Well, not everyone agrees. I mean, a lot of people say, like, they're in their own little world kind of thing, but yeah. Nintendo have run a successful company for a long, long time. And how many times do they have to keep proving people wrong before people say, do you know what, actually, Nintendo might know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying they're beyond making mistakes. I think with the 3DS and the Wii U, they launched them either too early or too late.
Well, that's what I was saying. This was at the whim of their shareholders,
yeah.
who they'd invested a lot of money. The console was in production or, you know, ready to ship,
mm-hmm.
but they were waiting until there was a range of games to ship with it.
Yeah.
And because of the pressure from the stockholders, they released it about 4 months early.
Well, they wanted it before Christmas, yeah, didn't they, obviously. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they should have left it another year.
Well, no, it wasn't before Christmas, because the 3DS came out in April.
Oh, the 3DS was a weird one, yeah.
It, and they wanted it shipped before the end of the financial year, so for taxation things. It was really stupid.
No, it was early, but again, you know, everything's forgotten as soon as they release those big games, and it's something that, you know, like PlayStation All-Stars proved, their characters simply do not have the same cachet as Nintendo, and they never will. You know, no gaming company ever will, because, you know, they historically, it goes back for years, and they've got some of the most popular characters of all time. You know, whatever you say about Sackboy, about Nathan Drake, they're never going to be in the same league as Donkey Kong and Mario. That's just the fact. And I just think, as I said, I really love the Wii U hardware. I really do, and I enjoy playing the games I've got. It's easy for me to say, oh, you know, I'm happy to wait,
yeah.
because I've got all the other consoles. But, you know, I understand if it's your only console, then you're going to feel burned. But from Nintendo's point of view, I think they're building up to Christmas. I know the new consoles are coming out, but they're £400-£500. If Nintendo, a little price drop maybe, you know, bundle it with Mario, then things, you know, they'll shift units real fucking quick. You know, everyone's saying this Christmas they haven't got a chance. And again, it's like people come out and they immediately criticise the new Mario 3D Land. Okay, it doesn't look as exciting as a Galaxy does.
You can't expect that massive jump every generation.
No, it does almost look like a stopgap, but I guarantee that game's going to be fucking awesome.
It'll be good fun.
It's
the first four-player 3D
Mario, yeah. I mean, even like people will go back and they'll criticise... Mario Sunshine. That's one of the weakest 3D ones.
I hate Mario Sunshine.
Oh, Mario Sunshine's awesome. I started playing it again recently. It's still better than 99.9% of other platformers, of other games, I'd still say. I think it's that good. And this comes from who thinks it's the weakest of the 3D Marios.
Yeah.
I still think it's a fantastic game, but yeah, we get into a big argument then. But rather than just keep rattling on about, you know, the Xbox,
yeah.
I mean, we usually start an episode with, you know, what we've been playing. Again, we could do an episode unto itself just here, because obviously we've been playing quite a bit.
Yeah.
I finally, again, for anybody who's been listening to Brashcast before, you'll know that I've been putting off Mass Effect 3 for the best part of a year and a half. I finally not only started it, but I finished it. And I can confirm that the ending is bollocks.
Yeah.
I watched both of them. I watched the original ending and the kind of redone one. So, and I don't like either of them.
Yeah, because...
It felt like such a disappointment, because I love Mass Effect.
Because you text me, and then you were like, finished! And I was like, so what colour did you get? And you were like, what? Oh, right, what colour? Because it is ridiculous.
I did not like the ending. I didn't like either ending at all. And it was just, like, I'm not going to get my panties in a twist about this. You know,
it's not enough to spoil the game.
It's not at all. It's an amazing game. And Mass Effect 3, because obviously playing it a lot longer,
mm-hmm.
I'd had a lot of
you know, read a lot of feedback on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, originally it was positive, but then a lot of people came back and said, oh, it wasn't as good as 2.
Whingers.
But I think it easily stands side by side with 2. I don't think it's quite as good as 2.
Yeah.
Similar in the way that Uncharted 3 isn't quite as good as Uncharted 2. We're still talking about 2 absolutely phenomenal games, and you're talking about, you know, the width of a piece of paper in terms of the difference between
A matter of opinion.
Yeah, totally. In terms of the quality.
It doesn't need to be technical, it can just be opinion.
I prefer that. And, I prefer the second one, but the third one was absolutely amazing. As a trilogy, it's a phenomenal achievement. It's just a shame that the end was bollocks.
Mm.
But I finished that. Then I decided I was going to try all those Nintendo Wii JRPGs I had sitting on the shelf.
All right.
Last Story, Pandora's Tower, and Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yes.
And I like them all to certain degrees, but I'm not going to finish any of them simply on the basis that I don't have enough time to commit to games that I don't really love.
Yeah.
The closest I came with any of them was Xenoblade Chronicles, which I thought was really good. But it's a terrible thing, and I know games aren't all about graphics, but especially a game like Xenoblade Chronicles, it makes you sick that you're playing it on aging hardware. Because it's such a beautiful game, like the art style, and that's why I can't wait.
That's why it's built for Nintendo, you know?
Well, the Project X on the Wii U is essentially a sequel or a pseudo-sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles, and it looks phenomenal. Like, graphically, it looks up there with Mario Kart, the other one, which looks absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to play that. But the whole time I was playing this, I couldn't quite shift the fact that I was just like, oh, it looks so much uglier than it should. Because artistically, it's amazing. And for a Wii game, it's good-looking. But
and they dubbed it with British accents, as
and that's
to
the
American
other issue
ones.
I had with it. As much as I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the battle system, and I enjoyed the world, I the chat was bollocks.
It's like Fable, isn't it?
But this isn't. It lacked all the charm that Fable had.
Yeah.
So between that and the voice, and it's the same with The Last Story. Again, you know, I love Sakaguchi's games. You know, 2 of my favorite RPGs are Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon, unbelievably, and obviously Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
But this, again, it's too brown. It would work better. Again, if it was in HD, it'd probably work. But because it's so brown, it just looks all a bit smudgy.
It was a strange one for Nintendo to pick up.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think he maybe developed for the Wii because cheaper development costs.
Project Rainbow, I think, was part of bringing it across as well.
But, again, not a bad game. And some of the ideas are good. Like, it's somewhere between like a third-person shooter almost and a JRPG. But it didn't quite come together for me to the point where I'm just like, again, if this was a 7-8 hour game, I probably would have like kept with it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't.
40
I
plus.
I can't commit 40 plus hours.
No.
And Pandora's Tower, it was the weakest of the three. Not bad. Worth a look for fans of the genre. But again, I'm not kind of putting 20, 30 hours into a game I'm not completely enamored with. So it's a bit of a shame that none of them grabbed me, especially The Last Story, which I was really, you know, hoping to love.
Yeah.
But I like them all. They're all somewhere between 6, like Pandora's like 6, 7, Last Story 7, and maybe Xenoblade 8.
Yeah.
But and again, that's a really good review. But I think again with Xenoblade Chronicles, the one I put the most time into, I kept seeing those images of Project X.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell it's called for the Wii U, and I just kept thinking, oh, it should look like that. So I'll certainly be picking that up on the Wii U. It sounds like I'm a graphics whore, but I don't know why it really affected me on this. But do you want to name a few rather than me going on? I can get back to the games I've been playing.
Well, just talking of very Japanese games, I did pick
up. Let's go into the book. Can we see the book on screen? Yeah, we see the book. It looks very professional. I like the little book. I need to get. Oh, it's good Star Wars.
Yeah, Kara got me it.
Why am I looking at the screen rather than just at the book? It doesn't fucking matter.
I got Valkyria Chronicles for the PS3.
Oh, that's awesome, isn't it?
Kara fucking hates it.
Does she?
Yeah, because it is, and I totally agree, and it's funny. It makes me laugh, but it bothers her how it is so stereotypically Japanese portrayal of women. Little girls.
Oh, yeah. Well, compared to some of the other JRPGs you can get, that one's pretty
All
tame,
the girls
but
are like, when they get shot, I laugh.
Well,
does not.
If you have an issue with that,
and
their
armor,
they've
got
RPGs.
Armored mini skirts and stuff. It's like, what the
fuck? I love all that, and not in like, oh my god, so sexy. It's just that's how I've kind of grown up with, you know, Japanese games and stuff, and I find it.
I'm just waiting for the tentacle monster class.
Well, that's the thing. It quickly that I still find quite charming in some way, but it can quickly kind of devolve into being a little bit gross and a bit disturbing, kind of. I mean, there were a lot of JRPGs on the PS3, I'm forgetting the name, but I actually reviewed a few of them, where they are just filth, essentially. They're borderline filth. And obviously that sells in Japan. Yeah. That's a big thing, you know. Very young looking girls wearing very little. It's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't think that Valkyrie Chronicles went overboard, and I think that's a really, really well made game. And it looks gorgeous. You know, the art style kind of looks like it's hand drawn.
Like Okami. I've just realised that it's raining outside.
It's raining outside. Well, there we go.
It's raining outside. I've got laundry out.
It might be raining outside when, you know, when you're listening to this. We don't know. But it's definitely raining in Edinburgh.
We might need to pause.
We might need to pause. Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay. Wait. I'm not sure if we'll be able to restart the video though. If it'll just.
If you want to take two separate videos, I can splice them together. No bother.
Okay. Well, sorry, folks, but we're gonna have to stop very briefly.
We'll edit that bit out. Fuck.
Well, what was hours here has been only seconds to you, but yes, that brief interlude, the briefest of interludes. The washing is in. It's actually stopped raining, so it all seems a little bit pointless now. But it doesn't matter, you know, we've got to take these things into consideration. You can't have wet clothes.
No.
But what were we saying, anyway?
Just talking about... games. So...
Which is a good thing, it's a gaming podcast.
Valkyria Chronicles. Yes. I've played a bit of it,
mm-hmm.
but I can't really play it when Kara's in the house, because it's torturous for her.
Girls, eh? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Black Ops 1. I've played and finished.
Oh, you haven't played before?
No.
Oh, fair enough.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Same as Black Ops 2.
Yeah, I think I'm most of the way through Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird with Michael Rooker playing one of your teammates,
mm-hmm.
Merrill from...
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of strange.
Yeah, well, I thought Black Ops 1 and 2, I think most of the... they never stick with me. I always forget them. Like, I can tell you anything about the stories. But I enjoy them for what they last. And again, they're like 4.5 hours, so I just kind of blitz through it. I rarely regret playing them, but equally, I rarely remember anything that happened.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But funny enough, I was playing the multiplayer a bit recently, because one of my friends, when I was down in West Wales for a wedding, he convinced me, he's like, oh, make sure you have me as a friend, because they all play online.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, you know, I'll give it a go. And so, you know, I am actually quite enjoying it, and I'm actually not too bad at it, which is quite surprising, because I like playing it on hardcore mode. I played on that, quite enjoyed that. Same with finally got around to playing some Halo 4 online.
All right.
And thoroughly enjoyed that, actually.
Wondering when you finally would get around to Halo.
I know. Well, I love, again, like anyone who's listened to this before, I love the Halo universe, and I generally buy Halo games to play the single player campaigns. But I usually kind of dip a toe, but this one's the one that's kind of grabbed me the most. I haven't put a great many hours in by any stretch, but I was quite surprised again that I did okay, because I was kind of expecting to get my ass handed to me on Halo.
Yeah.
But put up some relatively decent numbers.
I think Halo is matchmaking is second to none.
It is good, but of course you do get to the point where it's been out for a while, so you're still playing against people who are like level 40, 50 and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Don't get, you know, I'm sure some of them are crap, because, you know, you can get to level 50 and suck balls.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're persistent. But, I thought even at the start I'd kind of get annihilated. But no, I did okay, and I thoroughly enjoyed, especially the large scale battles where you have the mechs and the vehicles and all that. But, I was just using not the assault rifle, the kind of rifle. The battle rifle, and that served me well.
It's good from medium to long range as well as being. You can defend yourself at close range.
But for the larger levels in particular, you can get a lot of kills without even zooming in, just kind of picking people off. But part of that, I think, is me just kind of getting in a bit of practice, because I'm looking forward to Titanfall so much.
Yeah.
I fucking cannot wait for that game. That looks every... Of all the games, that's the one which has grabbed my...
Which is strange, because you're not a big multiplayer fan.
Well, I do like them, but I tend to drop in and out, but it's...
the way that Titanfall portrays multiplayer as a campaign.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it is literally, as much as I like the idea of online gaming... I usually get like a bit bored after a while, but with that, you know, where you've got the campaign going on, and plus I just love mechs, and it looks so much more exciting, the fact that, you know, you can boost jump, you can kind of parkour off walls, and you have those titans, and everything just looks how I'd want it to look. The way the titans come down, the way when you put the suit on, when you jump into the actual titan, and the screen goes like from all sides, I'm just like, everything looks fucking amazing. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that.
That's good.
But anyway,
I got.
That's pleasant.
I got.
That, do you know? That's the tone my fucking girlfriend uses. My fiance, my wife to be. She's like, oh, that's nice, Liam. That's pleasant. And I'm just like, you just don't give a fuck.
Comes with a pat on the head.
Yeah, I often get a pat on the fucking head. Bethan, I'm sorry if you're watching this. But,
I also got really strangely addicted to Tiger Woods 2014.
That is really strange.
I do not know why.
Are you a golfer?
I hate golf.
That's odd. But, like, I would almost get if you... It was, if
but
it was
I got
like,
I got pretty good at it. I still will go back and play it.
Yeah, yeah. I thought if it was like... What's the PlayStation one?
Everybody's
golf. Everybody's golf. Like, you can enjoy that and not...
Kind of cartoony.
I enjoy that game. But... And I don't mind Tiger Woods. I used to like playing it with friends.
Yeah.
But that was the only time I'd ever play it. To kind of sit there and play it on your own... That's somewhat surprising.
Yeah. There's just something about the gameplay. It's very addictive.
Oh, that's
especially
nice.
As
like nice.
Well,
sorry, just.
especially as it's gone the Call of Duty route now,
mm-hmm.
of play well, get these little perks.
Oh, so you've always got that kind of carrot in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, to keep going.
Yeah.
I have not played a Tiger Woods game since the original Xbox. It was like a university
it's
game.
Kind of
it was
weird.
Basically the kind of game we played and got really stoned playing. That was it. I haven't done that in fucking years.
It's
by
weird.
The way. It was university.
I don't hate the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the culture that surrounds it and that kind of like I grew up playing rugby and people think mm-hmm. rugby's posh and it's not. Like
well,
some
it,
rugby
it, it
players
is in
are.
England, isn't it? In Wales, it's more working
well,
class.
Yeah.
But in England, it was always it's kind of perceived as being a wealthy man's game, I suppose.
Perhaps
a middle class game. Yeah, I think it depends where you come
but,
from. I don't think that's necessarily the same.
Golf has that culture, you know. Right, you know, excluding
oh,
women,
that fucking
excluding
is.
Women and
black people.
Yeah, yeah, and it's
ethnic
all it's
minorities.
All, like country clubs have tennis courts. And a golf course.
Yeah.
They don't have a rugby pitch.
No.
You know, and
you can imagine they're still pretty upset about the whole Tiger Woods thing. Oh, I cannot believe that black fella was so bloody good at golf.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to let them all in now.
We're gonna have to hamstring him.
Oh, we're gonna have to take him out. We can't have all the brothers playing golf now. Oh
yeah.
No, drinking their 40s out on the course. Oh no, I will not have it. But
yes.
I'm not sure if they had this conversation. I don't think anyone in the UK actually drinks 40s. I think that's a US thing, so I don't want to. But anyway.
Yeah. But the game itself, I'm so against the culture around it.
Mm-hmm.
I've made sure to dress my guy in a way that most like golfers would be like. He's got like
a
hoodie on and trainers.
A lot of golfers dress like villains, but not in that way. Though. I guess they don't
yeah, they
trainers.
Dress like clowns with like
they
Pringles shirts
like clowns,
and stuff.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, the thing is, I've never been one for golf. I don't mind going to a driving range because it's you know you just go there and hit the ball as hard as you can. That's fine.
Yeah.
But in terms of, it's just a lot of walking. It's just, as they say, it ruins a good walk as far
yeah.
as I'm concerned. So yeah, I'll never be a golfer as long as I got a hole in my ass, and I plan on having a hole in my ass for the duration.
Okay.
So that,
no,
that's
no colostomies for Liam.
No, certainly not. But anything else? Anything else we can do?
Yeah,
just going back to the book.
The big one, Skyrim.
Oh,
once
again
oh, fallen yeah. into.
The pit.
Like a K-hole for ketamine.
Yeah,
it's
the
S-hole. That sounds too close
to
actual.
Well, I did hear a story. I went to a music festival a few weeks ago, and there was this guy there who like just thought I was someone else. He was completely fucked. I looked nothing like the guy. He's like, yeah, how's it going, Andrew? Who the fuck is Andrew? He's like, nope, definitely not. But so he's one of those guys who goes out of his way to actually go into a K-hole. Like, he does all the drugs.
Yeah.
And
he does all the drugs.
He does all the drugs. Fucking loves the drugs.
This is my friend. He does all the drugs.
And one of the guys was saying, like, he literally did a shitload of ketamine and just, like, sat on the balcony on his own, wrapped himself in a blanket and just stared at the stars and just got completely fucked up. This is the kind of buzz this lunatic looks for. I just, like, these guys are fucking crazy. I'm a different... I smoked a bit of weed when I was in university.
It's
hardly pushing the boat out, is it? But no, I would never do shit like that. And you know, if you want to, then I've got no problem with it. Each their own. Like, he's
yeah.
not hurting anyone. But I just don't get the mindset. Like, I understand people wanting to try drugs, but to like get to like K-hole, based on what I've heard about it, it doesn't sound fucking fun.
No.
Because I went to Beat Herder. It's actually got a tent. Like, you're not allowed drugs officially in there.
Yeah.
But there is a tent where people can go and just calm down. Like, for people who have just gone off the deep end, who are just, like, tripping balls.
The calm down tent.
Yeah, it's got a fucking name.
But there is one, like, one of the girls the actually had to go to
it. It's more the fact that it's just a twist on Come Down Time.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But that, one of the girls we were with, like, she just went a bit mental on ye olde drugs when she was there. And, yeah, it all went, you know, she went to a dark place, as she said. And, yeah, just had to go in the tent and just kind of ride it out for a couple of hours. But I guess this can happen when you do all the drugs, I suppose. But,
Yeah, so I've fallen back into Skyrim.
Dangerous. Dangerous. I just decided to, you know, I just thought I'd give heroin another go.
Yeah.
Just one more chance.
I was, like, 60 days clean, and then...
And then straight back on.
And then I bought the DLC.
Oh, fuck, man. And you don't just dip a toe into Skyrim, do you?
No.
I mean, as again, people who listen to this, I keep saying this is fucking lame, but I'm not a fan of Skyrim, but I can totally understand how people get lost in that game. I mean, it's one of those worlds, if you do get into it, I mean, there's so much to fucking do.
Well, people had said to, like...
When they
reviewed the vampire, the piece of vampire DLC
mm-hmm.
for Skyrim,
yeah,
people had said that it was crap and it was pretty short.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty short,
it was like 20 hours or something.
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the weird thing with games like that, where people can say... Oh, it's so short, and you're just like, dude, that's like fucking 20 hours. It's just you become accustomed to like hundreds and hundreds of hours of gameplay. It's like, you know, give the guys a fucking chance.
Plus, it makes Skyrim a much more interesting place to be because there's a lot more random encounters.
Well, I like DLC where they do something completely new with what's there. Like they did with Far Cry Blood Dragon, which I thought was absolutely ingenious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think... the way they're going with, obviously, the one that's out now for Bioshock Infinite isn't all that interesting. It's just, you know, waves of enemies, essentially. And I'm one of those people who do actually like the combat, but that's not going to take me back to the game.
No.
But the idea of going to Rapture and playing as Elizabeth, I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely get that. And that's what, you know, I would like to see, excuse me, that's what I want to see from DLC, where they take the game and they can just turn it on its head because there's no pressure with DLC. They don't have to make it canon. They can just do something completely bonkers.
Yeah. Well, Borderlands is good for that. But Borderlands has always been bonkers.
Yeah, Borderlands is crazy and they can get away with a bit more. I mean, you know, Bioshock Infinite in its own way is pretty crazy. But the idea that you can take the characters and completely switch it around, just be like, well, it's DLC. You can just do what you want. I mean, I will definitely be picking those up because I love Bioshock Infinite. And... you know, as I mentioned before, I won't go back and replay the game. I just have that experience as it was.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a very positive experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it's very few games I go back and replay, although I did buy Vanquish again. But I'll be picking that up again. Vanquish is fucking amazing. Don't listen to him. It is the best. Platinum games are the best about... Well, they're one of the best about this round. Anyway, we won't get into that argument fucking again. But, so that's the rest of your gaming time. So golf and Skyrim.
Golf, Skyrim.
And Man of Leisure.
Witcher 2. A little bit of The Witcher 2.
Yeah, that's another game I kind of... Well, no, it was good. It really well made. I just got to a point where I was just like, this is starting to feel like hard work. So I just kind of pulled the plug.
But it's because you need to... If you don't save often, you are in trouble.
That's what happened to me. What happened to me with the boss. It just turned into a charm. Like,
I've just lost 4 hours of progress.
Well, you can do... That's the other thing. You can spend 4 hours and get fucking nowhere with that game.
Well, yeah, but then Dark Souls is a lot worse for that.
Yeah, yeah. But as I said,
you can spend 4 hours in Dark Souls and go backwards.
I know, it's fucking killer, but I actually want to start playing that again. But that's the thing with these games like The Witcher, like Skyrim. Like, they're just not for me, but I'm not saying they're bad games. Like,
no.
That would be retarded, because they're absolutely amazing games. It's just something about them which doesn't quite click for me. But, I keep meaning to, as I said, go back to Dragon's Dogma, which I'm, for some reason, absolutely love. But I haven't had time for that. But I did play, started and finished Crisis 1 in, like, mm-hmm. a day and a half. Just absolutely blitzed that. That was pretty good, holds up well visually. I think Crisis is good.
You can shoot the trees!
You can shoot the trees, they fall down, it's quite impressive. But Crisis is one of those kind of not-quite-there shooters. Like,
right.
Like, technically, they're always very good, they look great. But, like, I'll play Crisis 3, but again, I can't quite get in a rush. I can't get excited about it. I'll just get around to it. When I have a bit of spare time, I might pick up Crisis 3.
My mind, when you went, I can't quite get in there, and my mind finished with, yeah, I just can't quite get an erection when I'm playing that game.
Well, I get an erection on most of the games I love, so if I'm not rocking a boner, usually I kind of just turn it off. That's why I'm with The Witcher 2. I was like 16 hours in. I was like, I've lost my hard-on. Fuck this chat. I've got too many other games which are giving me solid wood.
But speaking of games which give me solid... No, I'm not sure if I've actually got anything here.
Well, that's golf games.
Oh, golf games, yeah. I'm just rocking and boning the whole fucking time with those. Jesus wept. The thing is, obviously, I've been playing a lot of the 3DS, and for me, because I never had a DS, it's essentially two consoles.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been going back and playing Elite Beat Agents, which is fucking phenomenal.
That's a rhythm game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like the best rhythm game I think I've ever played. That's amazing. Alien Infestation, which might be the best Aliens game since the Alien game on the Commodore 64.
It's way forward, isn't it?
That's really fucking good. It's like a Metroidvania kind of thing.
Yeah.
Surprisingly
decent. I've seen that.
And it's good as well. Because
your guys actually died.
Yeah, when you guys die, you can pick up other team members down the line. Because I was playing and I didn't know about this and they're dead. And I'm just like, is he not coming back? So, yeah, that was... I really enjoyed that, actually. In fairness, since I've had the 3DS, I've probably spent more time playing DS games. Just because those two in particular, I really kind of fell for pretty hard.
I think I've got some lying around from when I had a DS. I'll give them to you.
Oh, sweet. Well, I do. As I said, you know, the DS, obviously certain games have aged pretty badly in terms of visually.
Yeah.
But those two, they still look really good.
Mario is just, it's like going back and playing classic Mario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, again, they have that certain kind of universal charm where they'll just look good forever, though, won't they, Mario games? But I did play something else. Sorry if you're watching the video and I'm here looking at a piece of paper, but I won't remember otherwise.
We take these things very seriously.
We do. Anyway, no, fuck it.
You're just going to vamp for a while.
Yeah, just, I thought I had something on this piece of paper, I don't. So, you know, we could keep going on about games, but we've only really got kind of 10 minutes left, and I feel like we have to mention the big movie news. Of course, you know, we've seen quite a few movies over the past few months, but I think despite the fact that, you know, Avengers 2, the Rise of Ultron, Return of Ultron?
Age of Ultron,
whatever the fuck it is. No one gives a shit because they went, oh, by the way, Batman and Superman are going to be in the same movie and everyone just jizzed in their pants. I mean, that's pretty big news.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about tone, the fact that they went out of their way to come up with a Dark Knight Returns quote for them. So now, of course, you start thinking an older Batman, perhaps. I mean, this could be a podcast unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about this, and we will come back to this maybe. But the one thing I wanted to have a talk about was who you think will be the next Batman, because obviously, will it be an older Batman now? I wrote down a few of the names which have been bandied about. I'll actually find these. There's only one of these which I'm really taken with. Ryan Gosling, no, don't like that.
Too young.
Yeah, too young. Richard Armitage, the guy who played Thorin in... I liked him as Thorin in...
he is English. I don't know... Well, I suppose Christian Bale was Welsh.
Yeah,
Superman's English.
I'm not convinced by that, but... again, Matthew Good, the guy who played Ozymandias in The Watchmen.
Pretty.
Again, I'm not convinced, but I wasn't convinced with him when they selected him for Ozymandias. I was like, that guy can't be fucking Ozymandias.
Ozymandias is always blonde. And
yeah, but he was like massive, and I just wasn't... I kind of saw his kind of... Because he's got a relatively sleek physique.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that's a horrible choice. And especially with the suit, he looked like a bit of a gimmick. So when he's on screen, he's putting him on the other side. I saw him in the actress, he's just the part of Charlie Campbell. So sensitive that, and you think he could very much do the dark side of Batman and take it to a different place, but I'm still not convinced. But he, you know, potentially he'd be interesting the same way that Michael Keaton was interesting, I'd say. But I'd certainly take him over Ryan Gosling, put it that way.
Yeah.
The one I was really...
And to play Batman as well.
Yeah. Well, there you go. The one... the one name that's been bandied about, which I'm really keen on, is actually Josh Brolin.
All right.
From
I know John Hamm has also been suggested.
Oh yeah, of course. I forgot to write that down. But Josh Brolin, like he's actually in the new Old Boy remake as well.
That totally unnecessary film.
I know. Well, Old Boy is one of my favorite films of all time, and I don't think it needs a remake. But you know, a lot of people won't watch it because it's foreign language.
Yeah.
And as far as remakes go, I mean, obviously it's just a trailer. I think it looks really good.
I don't want to read when I'm at the cinema. Shut up.
I know. A lot of people don't like that though. But Josh Brolin as an older Batman, I could fucking totally get on board with that. Like, don't you think you'd make a... Like, he's got the voice, he's got the jawline, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
I could totally... I mean, he's about the right age, I think. Because I don't think they'll make him as old as he is in Dark Knight Returns.
No.
They obviously won't go completely down the Dark Knight Returns, you know, because this, at the end of the day, is going to be a Superman
movie. If they were going to do that, yeah, because
this is going to be Man of Steel, isn't it? They could almost build towards another movie like proper Batman versus Superman. Because I'm not sure what the score is with this. Is it Batman versus Superman, or is it Man of Steel 2 including Batman? Featuring Batman.
Feet Batman,
yeah. But I don't know. Either way, I think it's a great idea.
They rap at the end.
Yeah, that because the thing is, they're so a million miles away from the fucking Justice League. And let's be honest, no one gives a shit about the other characters. You know, if you have a movie with Superman and Batman, you're guaranteed massive numbers. And Man of Steel did huge numbers. And you've seen that now, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I really liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Like, the thing is, it was never going to live up to the trailer. It had it had the best trailer, literally, since The Phantom Menace, I thought.
Well,
we know how The Phantom Menace turned out.
Yeah.
But the
What did we say before Man of Steel? It's Zack Snyder. The trailer is always going to look good.
Yeah, yeah. And it was... But you got the tone right and everything. And I liked the film. Minor spoiler alert, should we say. The only issues I had were with him and Lois. And again, I thought everyone was cast brilliantly. And I liked her as Lois. But that... Like, they didn't earn that at all. She was just always somehow there. And there was just at the end, oh, they're going to... Okay, that's fine.
There were some very Nolan-esque plot holes.
There were some plot holes. And the action at the end was so fucking epic. I liked it. I lost interest. It was kind of like I had the same thing with Transformers 3. Like, technically, you knew it was amazing, but so much was going on that I just became numb to it all.
Yeah.
I loved a lot of the action, but especially, as I said, the end, the bit when it was, like, he was fighting that snake thing with the tentacles, the robot thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was lost on me. And then it was like, how many times can they fly into each other and everything goes boom? It's like they literally destroyed the city. And it was all fine. It was like it wasn't like I wasn't enjoying it. But I just kind of sat there and I was just like, okay, like, if you ask me what was my favourite bit, like action scene, I struggle to pick it out. Mm. Whereas I've mentioned this before, how great that one action scene was from Superman Returns. There was nothing in that film anywhere near the scene when he rescues the plane.
I honestly can't. I remember.
There's a scene in Superman Returns.
He lifts up like a mountain at some point.
Oh, no, that's bullshit. But there's a scene early in the movie when he makes his first appearance as Superman, and Lois is on, it's like a spaceship connected, and they're connected on a plane underneath.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it, you know, something goes tits up, and the plane's falling to Earth, and he's flying after it. There's a bit when he flies through the wing, and then at the end, it's such a classic Richard Donner-esque Superman moment where he stops the plane, and it's in the centre of a busy baseball game.
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
all silent,
yeah.
And it drops, and the moment it hits, everyone goes, fucking goes mental. And like, that scene is one of my favourite action scenes of all time. And there is nothing in Man of Steel which comes close to that. It's a better movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's built up a very strong universe for Superman now, where I think going forward they can have like an even better sequel.
If you think
especially
about it,
you know, everything's better with Batman, so
yeah. Well, the way he's received by the public in that is very different, because it's Nolan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, oh,
it's interesting.
Anything like that is going to be viewed with suspicion and fear.
Well,
but he's
they
totally
tried to make
right.
It realistic, didn't they? You know, one of the big things he said was, it's not all just Superman's come to Earth. He is proof that extraterrestrials exist.
Yeah.
Like, that's a massive thing, especially, you know, this is a guy who landed in the Midwest. You know, the fucking heart of Jesus country.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was interesting. And I like the idea of Zod showing up and it's like an invasion army, much more threatening. And I thought, again, he was fantastic as Zod.
Yeah.
And I there was no one I didn't like. I thought everyone was cast great. You know, Kevin Costner was brilliant as Pa Kent.
Some people were criticising, like, the Pa Kent story as, like, tacked on. I'm like,
no.
I thought it was a great performance.
I thought that was really good.
And it said, like, everyone knows Superman's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So all they had to do was tell it well. And I think they did.
They did enough. Zack
Snyder doesn't do human interaction very well.
He doesn't. He's getting better, though. And I think maybe some of that's kind of Nolan's kind of influence.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that it was never about Clark Kent and Superman. It was just Clark Kent.
Yeah.
You know, he was...
Henry Cavill was a great Kent.
He was fantastic, I thought. Again, we don't know what he'll be like as Clark. Well, they go for the more traditional, obviously, spoiler alert... Something was hinted towards at the end of what could be in the next film, and it'll be interesting to see the way they go and how he. Obviously, they would have screen tested for these things, but
yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a good movie, and I'm very much looking forward to the idea of a Batman Superman, because they don't need those extra characters. I'm sure eventually they will do a Justice League, but they'd have to reboot the Green Lantern for one, because that wasn't well received.
Yeah.
And you know, Wonder Woman is tricky stuff. Although saying that, you know,
I think that is coming.
Yeah, it'll come, and you know, it was easier for Marvel though, because Marvel had a more comic book world.
Yeah.
So Thor fits in, you know, more naturally.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, fair play, they did a pretty good job of explaining away Superman in a real world. You know, they tried to put the science behind it, didn't they?
Basically it's because gravity is different.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. So if they can do that, can they do Wonder Woman? It'll be interesting. But, you know, I think they're basically playing it safe because they've got the Batman and Superman crossover, which is the big one.
Yeah.
So say they do another Green Lantern movie, or say they do another Wonder Woman movie, and it doesn't work out. Because, you know, Justice League's all on the basis that all these characters have movies which are well-received.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they don't work, they're like, well, at least we can still put Batman and Superman in the movie together, because they're the ones that are going to bring in the money. No one cares about the other characters. It's just a way for DC to kind of expand and make more money, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the exciting news. Other than that, I mean, we'll go into movies a bit more next week. You know, if this video is too big, I think my computer's going to have an absolute fucking heart attack. You know, we do like to try and keep these things for an hour.
Yeah.
But we do promise, you know, after this very long hiatus, we are, you know, as long as, if the video works out, this could be shit, we're going to have a look later. If it works out, it'll be up on YouTube. Hopefully it will be. I'm sure it will. But we'll be back to pretty regular broadcasting now. It's, you know, we record on Tuesdays, but it's just a matter of when we get up on the site, because I don't have that kind of power, but, you know, we'll get around to it. But, yeah, we're back. It's, you know, business as usual, only now there are, like, videos and shit. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I think we can call it a day there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, until next week, GTFO.
Bye.
No, wait, I got it wrong. What's it? No, that's
me. No, you did it right.
No, I said GTFO. It's GTFL. 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 See, we're resting. This won't happen next week. GTFL. Catch you. Bye.